Turn with me to Ruth chapter 3 this evening, if you would please. Ruth chapter 3, continuing in our study of this wonderful book of redemption. That's the theme of our song. That's what we've been singing about tonight, our Redeemer, the redemption found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ruth chapter 3, just to review a little bit, when Elimelech, whose name, by the way, means my God is king, when he left the land of promise for the idolatrous nation of Moab, he took his family with him. And our father Adam did the same thing. As the head of our house, so to speak, our federal head, the representative of his people, Adam's disobedience plunged his family into the depths of sin with him. We, like Naomi, we went out full, but we've come back empty. And like Naomi, whose name means my delight, our names were changed to Mara. We went from being God's delight to being bitter. Please know that Adam's sin and disobedience didn't catch God off guard. I just shudder when I hear men say such things. Heard a man say one time that he believed God was sovereign, and because of that, he had a backup plan. Well, a sovereign God doesn't need a backup plan. He purposed everything to come to pass, just as it did. All things that come to pass in divine providence happen according to the will and the purpose of God. And that's where we can rest. Because the same God has promised that He's going to work all things together for our good. Romans 8:28, we believe that, don't we? He's working all things together for our good. To them that love the Lord, not the whole world, but to them who love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. Providence had ordered these events to bring Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws to hunger. And God, in mercy and grace, sent someone to tell them that there was plenteous bread in the city of bread where God had chosen, God's chosen nation dwelt. But Orpah kissed Naomi goodbye, but Ruth clave to her. I just love the thought of that. I can just see them on the road there together as Orpah went back to her family and friends. But Ruth grabbed onto her and held onto her with dear life. Lord, keep us cleaving to thyself and still believing. It's important for us to know that Ruth and Naomi not only needed bread, but they needed everything. They needed everything because they had lost everything and they had nothing. You and I have nothing. We've lost everything. Does that sound like anyone you know? Is that not what happened to us? We lost everything, we have nothing, and we are nothing. That doesn't offend me. That's the truth. That's the need that God has revealed to me that I have to keep me cleaving to my Lord and Savior. If Naomi was to be removed from her ruin, according to the law, she would need a redeemer, a near kinsman who could justly buy back all that she had lost. Does that sound like someone you know? And Ruth, the Moabite idol worshiper, according to the law, needed a husband to raise up seed in the name of her dead spouse. And oh, how Boaz's actions toward Ruth picture our Lord's care of and for His elect people. We have such a Redeemer as that. Praise Him all the day long for such a Redeemer as mine. He's worthy of my praise, worthy of my worship. Boaz took notice of her as she gleaned in his fields. And it's in the gospel fields of the Lord Jesus Christ that we too glean. I hope that you glean tonight handfuls of God's precious purpose. We glean there because the Lord predestined us to do so, and it's there that our Redeemer takes notice of us, and it's there that He gives us eyes to see Him and him alone. Our Lord Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And he's going to see to it that you get it, because he's throwing down constantly handfuls of purpose for us. It's there that Boaz issued orders that Ruth was not to be molested. In chapter 2, verse 9, Boaz charged the young men not to touch her. And that word touch there means much more than just mistreat. It means to lie with a woman, mistreating her in an intimate way. That is exactly what this world's religion does to folks today. You know it and I know it. They molest them. Is that not what the Lord ordered concerning us? Isaiah 54, 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And then again, Romans 8, 28, we know that all things, everything happens and works together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called by his grace according to his sovereign purpose. And as we already know, because God gives us the end of Ruth's story and ours, you know, in reading a book or watching a movie, sometimes I can't wait to get to the end. But that's the kind of the drama and the excitement. But we already know the end. We know how this story ends, and we know how our story ends. And I'm glad to know that. I'm glad to know that in this case. Boaz marries Ruth, and from their lineage, not only comes David, the psalmist, the king, but Christ, the Messiah. And these things were all according to God's great purpose in the redemption of his people. And Ephesians 1 tells us that, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. No blessings apart from Christ. According as he hath chosen us, where did he choose us? In him, in Christ. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us, predetermined us. That's not a dirty word. That's a glorious word. He predetermined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It pleased God to make you his people. That's hard for us to conceive, to understand, but it's so true. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in Christ the Beloved, in whom, Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It's all about him. It's all about him. It's his grace. We're accepted in him. Our redemption is through his blood. The forgiveness of sins is by his work of righteousness he did for us. And it's according to the riches of what? His grace. Christ, 100 us nothing. That's the score, isn't it? Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when before the world began. We can't take any credit for it. It was given to us before we ever were. Our salvation, dear friends, is ordered and in all things sure. In a world of unsure things, we have this as our hope for sure. And that's what David, Ruth's great-grandson, said years later upon his deathbed. He said, although my house be not so with God, and though our house also may not be so with God. All of us have family members who Christ has not revealed himself to. And some of us are going through some tough times with family. But though it not be so with my house yet, Yet what a glorious little word. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation, all my desire. God makes it all our desire, although he make it not to grow. It may not yet appear, dear friends, that God has made this spiritual prosperity to grow outwardly or inwardly, for we see through a glass darkly. But then when we're with Christ face to face, now we know in part, but then we shall know even as we are known, perfectly known by our Lord who loved us and gave himself for us. And in the book of Ruth, we have such a picture of the child of God being drawn by grace and taught to rest in Christ. And I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on him. Still learning. Still learning. I haven't obtained. Still learning. Boaz commanded Ruth to glean in his field. He commanded handfuls of purpose to be dropped for. According to Ruth chapter 2, verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until evening time, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Has Christ commanded you to glean in God's word? If he has, you will, just like Ruth, and you'll do so until evening, as long as the day of grace lasts. Every child of God will and must be gleaning until the end of the gospel day, so that they receive the abundance of bread. Handfuls of purpose, that's what it is. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Now here in chapter 3, we have such a story of redeeming love, and we see Ruth coming to Boaz in the manner specified by Naomi, her mother-in-law. And what a picture we have here of how a chosen sinner approaches Christ. I don't know that there's any better example of that in all the Word of God. No doubt Naomi in many ways represents the motherly aspects of God's church. Wise counsel that she gave to Ruth, counsel that enthusiastically praises God's grace, counsel that points a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we desire to do in our preaching, is point men to Christ, women to Christ. Counsel that secures the marriage of a spiritual widow with the kinsman redeemer. Verse 1, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, that being Ruth, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now, is not Boaz of our kindred with those maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, and thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, that thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. You know, religion today is all about witnessing. I heard that all my life. We need to witness. I worked for a religious man once who set out each and every day to witness to 10 people. That was his goal in life, to witness to 10 people. And first and foremost, religion today, nor this religion man that I worked for, know how to give a true witness, because neither of them know the true Christ. And all it does is make one religious, because then they think that they themselves have done something, you know, great for the Lord. But they give a false witness. Now that word witness is defined as a person who gives evidence and proof of something in question. In a court of law, that's what a witness does. A witness is someone who has knowledge of a particular event or charge, and they testify to the truth of what they saw, what they heard, or what they know. You can't testify to the truth of something that you yourself have not seen or experienced. We talked about that this past Sunday. We can't do that any more than we, as we say, can come back from where we haven't been. It's this. If what you have seen or experienced is not true, then you cannot give a true witness. But here Naomi gives Ruth wise counsel to the truth of who Boaz is and to who he is to both of them, not just Naomi, but to Ruth. He's our near kinsman. He was one who could redeem them. Naomi proved to be a true witness. And she told Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" She truly had Ruth's best interest at heart. She desired true rest for Ruth. She witnessed, she testified, and she told Ruth the only way that she could truly have this rest is with Boaz, the near kinsman redeemer. And friends, Jesus Christ is the true rest of every weary sinner who desires to be saved. And God's got to give them that desire. Churches today want to get your name on the church roll. They want to get you on the membership roll. It's all about numbers. It's all about money. It's all about building a physical worldly kingdom, not a heavenly spiritual one. But the true church of God, encourages men and women and warns them to believe on Christ, because that's all the rest that we'll ever obtain. We rest from our works because Christ has fulfilled the law on our behalf. True witnessing is to tell sinners that Christ is the kinsman redeemer. There's no one else that can redeem you. No one. Knowing that is the only way that it may be well with our soul. Naomi said, "And now Boaz is our kindred." Oh my. Christ has redeemed all God's elect people from the curse of the law. How? Being made a curse for them. "For cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree," Galatians 3:13. He alone is able to deliver us from the dominion of our sin nature. No one else can. We certainly can't deliver ourselves. Christ alone is able to redeem our bodies into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. "If the Son therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed." John 8:36. And Paul said, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. This is about redemption. I'm interested in God's redemption. The true witness of the church is to tell needy sinners where Christ is to be found, saying, "Behold, he winnoweth with barley tonight in the threshing floor." Now, the threshing floor here is a picture, an example, metaphor, whatever you want to call it, for where the gospel is preached. This is where Christ to be found. Where's Christ to be found? Where his gospel is preached. Where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. Gathered with them as in the preaching of the gospel. That's where Christ to be found. If a sinner is to hear the voice of the Savior, they will be where his voice is heard in the midst of his gathered people. They will be there where the gospel is preached. If not, then they have no true need. No true need. Our Lord is now working in this world, which is his threshing floor. And he's winnowing his people through his gospel, and he's separating the wheat from the chaff. You and I can't separate them. We can't tell the difference. But he can. He can. "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Matthew 3:12. Now, Naomi had confidence in the Redeemer and what Boaz could do and would do. And we preach the gospel, and we're confident that It's the sole means that God uses to save them that believe. We don't have any confidence in ourselves, but we've got all confidence in Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. And her instruction to Ruth is God's instruction to us. It's to lay at the Redeemer's feet and trust Him to tell her what she must do. When the believer falls at Christ's feet in total submission, they can be absolutely assured that He'll speak to them. Isn't that how you come to Him? He spoke to you. He spoke to your heart through the preaching of His gospel. It's at His feet where He assures them that He will save them to the uttermost and will be the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God will be gracious to whom He'll be gracious. But I've never seen Him turn down one who desired for Him to be gracious. Have you? Nowhere in the Scripture will you find God will show mercy to whom He will show mercy. But I've never discovered Him to not show mercy to one who wants it. That's how the child of God comes to their Redeemer. They come humbly, knowing that God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Verse 5. And she said unto her, Ruth said unto Naomi, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. I immediately think of that harlot who washed the feet of our Lord Jesus with her tears and dried them with her hair. The Scripture says she did what she could. She did what she could. It's the same with Ruth, and it's the same with every child of God. Ruth ventured all that she was, all that was her future, her redemption, on the goodness of Boaz. Naomi told her, get down to the floor. Fall at the Redeemer's feet. We must see the urgency in this. If we're desirous to obtain mercy and favor, grace will bring you down to Christ's feet. No higher place. No higher place for the sinner desiring redemption. That's where the woman of the city, which was a sinner, was found. That's where Mary, who chose the good part, was found. At Christ's feet, listening and to His word. The new heart responds to the gospel and says, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down to the floor, and we all must come down. To be risen up, we've got to come down. To live, we've got to die. There's no higher place than at the feet of Christ. You know, Naaman was a leper. He came in all his pomp and arrogancy and grandeur to Elijah. Elijah didn't even come outside. Didn't even come outside to meet him. He sent his servant and told Naaman to go wash in the Jordan, and it made him mad. He said, well, I surely thought, did he know who I am? I'm the great Naaman, the great Syrian captain. Doesn't he know who I am? Yes, he knows that you're a nobody that needs somebody to redeem him. But when Naomi told Ruth, wash thyself therefore and anoint thee and put thy raiment upon thee and get down to the floor, that's exactly what she did. See, friends, if you're lost, if you're poor, if you're needy, and we all are, in real danger of death, and we are, and God gives you instruction through the preaching of the gospel, you'll listen and you'll do what it commands. Verse 8, and it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? It's dark. And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Here we see the sinner's confession. When Boaz was startled by Ruth, by what she did, he said, "Who are you? Who is this at my feet?" And she boldly replied, "I'm Ruth. I am Ruth." Do you know what Ruth's name means? It means, "I am friend." I am friend. The name Ruth means compassionate friend. She knew that Boaz knew her name. Boaz had heard of her. He'd already been so merciful and gracious to her. "Just as the Lord knoweth them that are his." In confessing her name, she's confessing what she was. Boaz knew she was a Moabite. Boaz knew she was a stranger to the land of Bethlehem, Judah. Boaz knew that she was a mercy beggar. That's why she's gleaning in his field. But she was made a compassionate friend. He had compassion on her. He loved her. She was poor. She was bankrupt. She didn't have a penny, in need of redemption. But she confessed, "I am thine handmaid. I belong to you." In her answer, she confesses that she was willing to be Boaz's servant. She is that one who came to his house at the edge of the field. The one Boaz bid to come to his table. The one Boaz commanded to glean in his field. Does that sound familiar? She's confessing that she was Boaz's handmaid to show mercy and grace if he was willing to do so. That's how we come to Christ. "Lord, if thou will, you can make me whole." Being at his feet, she sought his favor, and she found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The word maidservant is a word that can mean female slave. It was then that she made her plea. She said, Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid. She's asking Boaz to cover his handmaid with his garment. And that was a symbol of covenant relationship. It was actually a symbol of marriage. She was saying, "Lord, Redeemer, make me your wife. Make me your bride." That's where God brings all his people. Yes, sir. That's where he brings all his people. Now, on what grounds does she dare ask such? On the grounds, "For thou art my kinsman." Thou art my near kinsman. She asked mercy from Boaz according to the word of God, which declared that Boaz was the one who had the right to redeem her. She's asking Boaz for mercy. She's asking Boaz for grace. She's asking Boaz to take her as his own. Yes, sir. Like that leper that came to the Lord Jesus and bowed at his feet, she's saying, "Lord, if thou will, thou can make me clean." Like that publican who smote on his breast in the temple, Ruth is saying, "Have mercy on me, the sinner." Yes, sir. Ruth didn't come feeling entitled. Why do folks today think they're entitled? They feel like if they profess Christ or come to Christ or join the church or whatever, that they're doing God a favor. That's the feeling of entitlement. But a true bona fide sinner, one that God has revealed to them their sin, they won't come that way. She came to him in the darkness of night. Outside of Christ, that's the only way we can come. She came to him in the position of a slave. That's the only way we can come. Unworthy. Unworthy. She knew that he was the one who had the right to redeem her. Look at verse 10. And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than in the beginning, than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. This response that falls from Boaz's lips is just dripping with grace. And grace to this Moabite woman whose race was cursed by God. You and I were a fallen, idolatrous race just like she was, dead in trespasses and sin until God showed mercy to us. God made us virtuous only in Christ by sending the Lord Jesus to do for us all that God requires of us. And the gospel is seen in what Boaz says. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. That's the gospel. I will do to thee, Luann, all that God requires of you. I will do to thee, Sharon, all that thou requirest. That's exactly what Christ has said and done for us. All that God requires of us. All that we could not do for ourselves. Our great Redeemer has done it for us. Because of Christ's substitution for us, we are enabled to look to no other but our kinsman Redeemer alone. Because of Christ's substitution, Ruth followed not the young men, whether rich or poor. In this world of religion, men and women follow that which best suits them. They follow, profess to follow Christ so that they might get something out of it. Whether it be health, wealth, or favor with men, doesn't have anything to do with God, but with the believer, it has everything to do with God. Every sinner drawn of God the Father who comes to Christ begging for mercy shall hear Christ declare through His word to their heart, "Fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest." Look at verse 12. The grace of the Holy Spirit of God has made every sinner that comes to Him altogether virtuous. Verse 12, "And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I." No doubt that Boaz was a willing redeemer. But there was something that had to first be settled. Something must first be done before he could redeem Ruth and take her to be his wife. There was a kinsman nearer than he was. There was a kinsman that had the first right of her redemption. And that issue must be settled before he could justly redeem her. But as we will see, this one, though he could redeem her, he would not redeem her. And then really, you could say he couldn't do it. If he wasn't willing, he couldn't do it. It was because of the weakness of the flesh, and that being our flesh. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall there no flesh be justified in his sight. You see, friends, this is so important. The Lord Jesus could not redeem us unto himself until and unless the law and the justice of God was satisfied first. Sin must be punished before the sinner can be redeemed. God must be honored in the salvation of the sinner. God can't just sweep our sin under a rug. It's got to be dealt with. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it must die, and it shall die. God cannot forego his wrath and justice to save a sinner. God being holy, his law being holy, must have his justice, which is also holy, satisfied before God's law, because God's law requires death to the one who offends it. There's a nearer kinsman got to be dealt with. If that sentence of death isn't paid in full, then the law of a holy God doesn't mean anything. Look at verse 13. "Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. as the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. Just rest. Just rest. Don't worry about it. It's all going. You're going to be redeemed one way or the other. And the law can't redeem you.
No, sir.
So the Redeemer will. When Naomi told, when Ruth told Naomi what happened, what had transpired, she was like, "It's going to be all right, Ruth. It's going to be okay." And that's what preachers try to tell God's sheep: "It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right." There are two rests found here. Naomi desired for Ruth to rest, and Boaz would not rest until he had redeemed her. Boaz had given her everything. He gave her grain that he himself threshed, pitching the handfuls of purpose to the elect of God. He gave her pure grain without chaff. That pictures Christ giving us his unadulterated word. And when Ruth returned home, Naomi assured her of Boaz's faithfulness. That's what we, the church, do in our preaching. We assure the chosen sinner of Christ's faithfulness to us. That's the only reason we can say everything's going to be all right. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it.
Amen.
What a wonderful, wonderful picture we have of our Lord here in mercy and grace done for us. May God enable us to fall at Christ's feet, desiring the redemption that only he can give. If we do, we can be assured that he will do all that every needy sinner requires, for he's the one that causes us to desire it. I leave you with the words of Isaiah, found in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. That's what Ruth did. That's what Naomi did. And he'll have mercy upon him or her, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You know who that word pardon means something to? A convicted criminal. It means something to him. That word pardon means the same thing as the word redeem. Isn't that something? I am so thankful that our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed us according to his mercy and grace. Not anything that we did, not anything that we deserve, not anything that we earned. I never grow tired of that message of grace. That's what it is, the grace of our kinsman redeemer.